Hello, everyone, and welcome to Lead a Horse to Water. You're listening to Trudy Dempsey. I'm your host, and I have been absent for a few weeks now because life has got so busy. And as usual, in this period between sort of early spring and early summer, everybody wants to train. My inbox is full all the time of people I need to get back to. I'm trying to patch people together around the country when people contact me so that I can put them in touch with the right trainers and behaviourists. And it's just fairly chaotic this time of year. We're heading now towards a slightly slower period towards the end of July and into August. Hopefully things will calm down, and my plan is to do some shorter, sweeter podcasts, of which this will be the first, where it's just me with some thoughts and maybe some of your questions. So do send me a message if there's something specific that you'd like me to talk about in these summer short episodes. I've done quite a lot since I last podcasted. I've been out to Houston for the IAABC Foundation Conference, which was just incredible. And I don't think we do enough of this, especially in the horse world, but in training in general. This idea of networking. So of course we go to conferences to learn, and there were some amazing presentations, and I will be touching on many of the topics over the next year because there are just so many things that spark an interest for me. But the big take home for me on all of those events is the coming together of people to support each other. I'm just back from Understand Horses Live at Ripley University in Essex, where in the UK we had our own version, where people came together to learn, but fundamentally came together with people who are like-minded. And unlike on the internet, where people are happy to shout you down, you have an opportunity to discuss the relevant topics that, yeah, maybe they're things that are a little bit controversial for people. So we have great presentations in Houston, just the same as in Essex. We had practical days, and it really brings the community together. I wish we had more. I wish there were some smaller local ones, maybe, because I think that would be great. So, you know, if you want to put something together like that in your little area, you know, maybe we should talk and think about how we can get some groups together that can support each other in that way. It's such a great way to interact and to get to know people and not feel so alone. So in this podcast, I'm going to talk a little bit about the human side of the equation. We're really good at talking about training in terms of horses and what we want them to do, and lovely creative techniques that I might, on podcast before or in my writing on Facebook, or when you've met me in person, I might be encouraging you in those creative techniques. And yes, they're so, so important. Can't get beyond that. If you can't create behavior for your horse, you're never going to be a trainer. But we also need to think about ourselves in that equation. And being in those places over the last few months, and lots of my own training situations as well, I've done several clinics in that same period, and also my private lessons and online lessons. And overwhelmingly, I come back to how much the human element of the training partnership can experience stress. Now, we want to keep stress low for our horses. We know that. We are always talking about that. But how often do we actually think about keeping our own stress low? And we tend to think we can do it all. We've read the books. But, you know, reading the books is just like reading a recipe book. It doesn't mean you can cook, and it doesn't mean you can cook that recipe, or that that recipe will suit you and your family to eat it afterwards. So same with horse training. What I see with humans in that their side of the relationship is a lot of stress. And I saw that over those practical situations where I've seen people training. The stress of being watched is quite difficult. It takes some time. And I was reminded of this yesterday because I was training my dogs with my lovely friend and colleague, Suze Foster. And Suze is a dog trainer as well as training horses. We often share video of our own training with each other, which is fantastic. It's a great way to push yourself to do things, and I would urge all of you to get yourself a training partner. It makes you a bit more accountable. So that's a really good tip, actually. But there was another lady there who Suze knew and I didn't. Suze was the common link for both of us. And I didn't have a plan because basically what we're going to do is a bit of obedience training. I don't need or want to compete in obedience, but I think it's good to have an overall plan of where you want to go with your training. So obedience can give that. I already do rally training, so it will just be a nice add-on. But I know nothing about obedience. I know nothing about the rules, and I felt like a baby. I felt like a kid in her first lesson, maybe at 11 years old. I know how to read and write, but I don't actually know what this class is going to be about. Of course, I've read obedience. I've got obedience books because some of the trainers that I admire have written them, and it's always interesting to see their take on it. But that is very different. That's like having the recipe, but not actually knowing how to put it into practice. So it was interesting, mainly because I've not taken my two dogs out to train together ever. Cozzy's been out on her own and trained, but Sherlock's never been out together or separately. So it was really nice for them to be together. And the big take homes for me were how calm they were around a different situation and with other people's dogs. But I didn't know what I was doing. They didn't know what they were doing. And there are so many smells at the yard, and so easy for them to get distracted. And it was very easy to forget that actually all we need to do is let them know reinforcers are going to happen, they're going to happen like this, and to chill and just engage and then go off and smell and re-engage, and just building that engagement in the partnership rather than trying to think I'm going to train X, Y, and Z. So it really pulled me up and made me remember my own rules that I'm always giving to my students, and there I was, no plan. So what am I going to do this week before next week's session? I'm going to create myself a little mantra. Now, I used to do this when I rode dressage tests in front of people and would be in a warm-up arena. I had this little mantra, this little work through that I would have, and normally it would be working on a square, quite a small square, maybe a 10-meter, 12-meter square, and riding good corners, maybe thinking of quarter pirouettes in the corner, and I might ride the other one with haunches in, and then I might ride a little counter shoulder in on the next straight line of the square. I might halt, step back on the square, and I had this little kind of reconnecting mantra that my horse would know because we'd do it at home. And I'm going to do the same with my dogs. I'm going to have this little, it's okay because we're going to go through this little set piece, this little pattern that for you will tell you everything's okay. So that's one thing that really has hit me this week, but also understand horses live. And in Houston too, you plan a live demo workshop and then you get your horse and the situation, and it changes completely. And for a beginner trainer, that's so hard because you've planned, you've done everything I've told you, and you've planned something, and then you have to change it. Now, I can think on my feet because I've been around this for a long, long, long time. But if you haven't, you need to be really open and honest to avoid that stress on yourself. You need to say, okay, I'm going to stop now. If you're filming yourself, I'm going to stop now because I'm having a hard time. So I know my horse is having a hard time, or my dog's having a hard time. Just admit that you need to take a break and tell your audience, if there's an audience watching you, if you're at club or class or whatever, say, I just need to take a break with my dog or my horse. I'm going for a wander and pull some grass over there. It's not the end of the world. You shouldn't need to have those goals in your mind that you're failing to reach, because that's just going to add even more stress. I think the judgment from other people is huge. It plays on our minds ridiculously. We are constantly bombarded on Facebook, Instagram, wherever else, TikTok, by what looks like perfect. And especially in the positive reinforcement side of things that we would generally maybe think of ourselves, if you're listening to this podcast, there's every chance that that's where you see yourself positioned. We can become, you know, sort of a bit stuck with that. It can feel that I can't do that, therefore I won't go and train. So I'm not as good as that person in that video on Facebook. Or sometimes the opposite. We think, I'm better than that, but I can't even go out and film it. I can't even do it. I know I'm that good, but there's something inside me that stops it. It's a conversation I have many times with many clients, students, who find it difficult to get out there and get motivated. So the same things that help keep your horse lower stressed and also encourage them to want to train more are the things that are going to help you. And that's working in those really super short sessions. And that always helps for me every time, short sessions. The frustration of not getting anywhere gets worse the longer you keep going. So cut yourself some slack, set a timer, set your phone for an alarm of 1 minute of training and finish when the alarm goes off. Don't keep going, because you're always going to go into territory that makes things worse. If you've had a bad session and it's 1 minute, end. Doesn't matter. You've got lots of opportunity to go back and try again. If you carry on past 1 minute and it was going great, it might go into the territory of shite. And then you really don't want to carry on. So work out what your optimum short session is and remind yourself to stick to it. Have a plan. Plans are really important. You know, I bang on about planning, and you can go to my website for any of my courses. And those are always available, my planning and motivation courses. They're just short courses. But planning, I'm really hot on. But not just a plan of, oh, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to train, walk on. No, you need a plan of, well, what happens if my horse sticks to me like glue? What happens if my horse doesn't want to have anything to do with training today? You need the outs. So a flow plan for your training, as well as general plans, and so many plans, lots of information in those plans that will support you as a trainer, not just your horse. You need to take data, because knowing how things went is super important for you. Because if they went well, you can pat yourself on the back and think, yeah, I did a good job, I'll do that again. If you don't take data, you just think you're crap. And honestly, we all do. So don't feel alone in that. We all feel crap sometimes. Have run-throughs. Now, I always encourage people, as part of their planning process, to have dry run-throughs, so not with the horse. I would also encourage you to have a dry run-through, not just at home when you're doing your planning, but when you're in the situation. So walk into where you're going to be working with your horse. Imagine your horse there. Have the setup and see, does it work for me as I walk around it? Think about where your feet will go next and whether there's anything you're going to trip over. The really simple things that will ruin a training session for you if they go wrong. And then have that first run through with your horse. Take data. Does any of that work? You maybe are going to trial three different ways to teach something. And after that run through of that first session, you'll know which one works best for me and for my horse. The other thing, on the back of all these fantastic places I've been to, join something that you feel part of that can support you. Unashamedly, I'm going to mention my Positive Horse Club. If you've ever trained or been to events of mine and you know how I work and you'd like to work with me, my Positive Horse Club is a fantastic way to do that. It's a very small group of people who have access to a forum and also to Zooms. One Zoom every month. That might be a webinar, it might be a Q&A session, and also you get video feedback on your own training, and that for £29 a month is absolutely incredible. And you get that group of people to support you there, which is, you know, for me, fundamental in how we can support ourselves as human beings in the training situation. You can also join local groups, whether they are all on your wavelength. Does that matter? No, maybe just sharing things with people who are local, but also seeking out those people who might be more the same as you. You don't know till you are. So, you know, find yourself a Facebook group, the but it's local, and just say what you do and say, is there anybody else doing this that would like to touch base, and maybe we could have a coffee and talk about our training or go visit each other. Maybe I can help you do your videoing. Form those alliances with like-minded people, but also be aware of seeing the other side of things and seeing how other people train as well. Fundamentally, look after yourself, because if you aren't looked after, if your needs aren't met, how on earth are you going to train a horse? Remember those short sessions, because honestly, all the last few things that I have been to in terms of events, that has been an absolute game changer. Stop, reassess, go back in. If you want to, I mean, you might decide that you don't want to go back in at that point. But if you don't stop, you can never do that. So cut yourself some slack. Get in touch if you'd like to have more support. And don't forget that I've got my Understand Horses course, Improve Your Positive Reinforcement, coming up very soon on the 15th of July, which is incredible value. And it's also a great place then to jump into the Positive Horse Club. If you haven't worked with me before, you might find that useful. And you will have lots of theory in that, lots of videos to show you how things look, but also share your own video and other people on the course sharing theirs too. You know where I am, www.equine.training. Contact form, course information, and you know, other bits and bobs on the website. But do get in touch if you have any questions for any more of these summer shorts. Hope you have a fantastic summer, everyone, and I'll be back with the regular format later into the autumn time. Happy training, kind training.